So we're now going to check in with the Twitter, which, you know, that garbage fire that we somehow are all drawn to. I can't look away. I love Twitter, but I acknowledge it is like the worst thing.
It was hate for me because I'm a terrible person.
Every week we solicit your questions, baseball and not baseball, and very rarely, if ever, do people take us up on the non-baseball questions. No one's asked any like probing questions about me or Doug or you this week, and I wonder why that is, because I feel like we're interesting people. Like, no one's asked me why I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it. So... anyway, I didn't scrape too many questions off.
I did get a non-baseball question.
Let's hear it first. Let's go with that one first. I think I have a baseball one coming up in a bit here.
From Mr. JG Stewart on Twitter, at JG Stewart, who's my friend Jesse, local musician and writer, said there are Giants questions. So he's curious whether I think that Fomorian Giants are evil or unfairly judged due to their physical appearance. Or whether, you know, in a Fire Giant versus Frost Giant question battle, who would win?
Fire Giant versus a Frost Giant question. What world are we in right now?
One where that makes sense. I think it's like Dungeons & Dragons focused. This is a D&D vibe.
All right, Fire Giants versus Ice Giants. Well, I'm going to think about their core, like how they're constructed. Are the Fire Giants like a gas combustible, or are they like kindling or wood? Is that what their heart is? And then like the Ice Giants, are they the Frost Giants? Are they just icy to the core, or they, I don't know. I would say the ice would win, because it seems to me the ice would just be able to overpower it would be able to suffocate the right. Fire Giant before the Fire Giant could melt the Ice Giant.
That's probably true, but if you're going to go like Norse mythological, like the source material, Frost Giants are just a thing. They're just like what Thor beats up on his day off.
Oh, then Fire Giants, because I'd imagine the Fire Giants can like hurl their flames.
Yeah, they come in at the end of the world and destroy everything. So I think we got to give the Fire Giants this one.
Yeah.
Fire Giants win. Actually, let's spin off that to a topic-related question.
Question. Game, do it.
Yeah, who on the baseball Giants, on the San Francisco Giants squadron, who on this Giants squad is most likely to be like our giant of Norse legend, our mythological titan? Like,
so when I ask these types of questions, I like to handicap it a bit and exclude the obvious answers, which in this case I think is Madison Bumgarner, right?
Yeah, Madison Bumgarner is a figure out of myth.
Yeah. Or you could say he's already a given. Who else? Either way, like who else could it be?
I mean, the instinct is, and I think this might also be another gimme, is to go with Hunter Pence, because he's really big and he's also kind of a nerd. Like, I think if you walked around that whole clubhouse, Hunter Pence is the only one who would have even an inkling of an idea about like Frost versus Fire Giants.
I'm pretty sure Hunter Pence has actually fought one or both of those in real life.
That's also plausible.
I think that's how he spends his off season.
So he might, I think, like, he's the obvious answer, so I think you got to rule him out.
His fiance is Greek. He has definitely had some sort of interactions with mythological figures.
Ooh, absolutely, yeah.
She takes him back to her grandparents' village or whatever, and they get into some sort of adventure. All right, so Bumgarner and Pence are givens, and I think Posey actually is like a Norse god already, right?
Right.
Or some sort of, yeah.
He's a very clean-cut Norse god.
That's right. Brandon Crawford.
Crawford. Yeah.
He's some sort of wizard or some sort of supernatural or preternatural ability with the glove. And he's got surprising power.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And that hair.
Yeah, the hair, especially when he like just stops caring in the season and suddenly he has a giant beard. You're right. It's Crawford. I think also, like we were talking earlier about baseball players with hidden depths outside the game, Crawford seems like the guy who might just like randomly spin off 20 pages worth of knowledge about Norse myths. I think the guy, Brandon Crawford.
That's your guy. Good pick.
All right, what else have we got from Twitter?
So this is a good one. Oh, he wants me to save it for when Grant's on, but I'll still ask it anyway, and then we can revisit it. It's a non-Giants question, which I have those, but what's the worst thing about working for Grant?
God. Do we have to pick one?
I mean, this isn't. We'll have to split the podcast at some point if it keeps going.
We'll save the Grant roast for another time.
That's like, right. That's right.
Yeah, one. You go first.
The worst thing about working for Grant is when he. No, there's nothing bad about it. It's when he writes the same post that I do, and it's better, but it still extinguishes 4 hours of random work that you put in. It wasn't four. But it's great because he's actually there's not really a downside to working with Grant. He's a better writer than me, so if he writes the same idea that I do, then I get to see what the best version of that idea is. So it all works out.
Sure, I can see that. It's sort of like, you know, reading a book and going like, yeah. Oh man, I had that idea, yeah. But this is way better. I think the worst part of working for Grant is realizing how much he's influenced me as a writer, specifically about sports. The worst part of working for Grant is actually this happened. I can tell you the exact moment that was the worst part. And it was when I was talking to my mom on the phone and she was like, oh, I read your last post. I don't know what it was. But she's like, you know, I was just reading McCovey Chronicles because someone linked it. And I didn't realize until I read the comments. I don't know why you were reading the comments, Mom. Hmm. Realized until I read the comments that was you. I thought it was, you know, the normal guy, Grant. Hmm. And the worst part about working for Grant is that my own mom thinks that apparently he's a better writer than I am. So,
so the worst part of working for Grant is that he's too nice and too good. that's it. He's too good. That's it. I guess that question plays better when Grant's here. I'll find out next week.
I'm sure he has all kinds of complaints about working for Grant.
Okay. What will this comes from at @sideoutpar. What will Tim Lincecum's stat line be in his first start against the Giants? This is a great question, I feel.
Okay. He's probably going to end up with the Padres, right?
Probably. I think that's a good fit for him.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's room for him in Seattle. That's the only reason why I don't think it'd be Seattle.
Padres, Dark Horse, Marlins.
Oh, that would be a terrible place for him to pitch.
Yeah.
But
they like, I think, weird players. So what's his – okay, against the Giants, I think he's going to do okay. I think it would be very Tim Lincecum to have, like, a start against the Giants that – so Tim Lincecum is all about being confusing and surprising, right? Like, right. He's about defying expectations, either good or bad. Nothing has ever made sense. So I think the most Tim Lincecum thing that could happen is if he winds up with another team, he's somehow still starting, he faces the Giants where he spent his whole career, and he has a completely pedestrian start. Like, not good, not bad, like a 5-and-dive, maybe into the 6th, strikes out a few guys, gives up a couple runs, leaves with a chance. Like,
that's exactly what I saw it as. Like, 5 1/3, 2-4 strikeouts, and then the bullpen kind of gives up one of those runs on base.
Yeah, like just like he has like a total like, oh, our 5th starter did something good start.
I feel like the worst, like the one that actually kills the Giants, because that would be bad, but who knows? The worst would be if he somehow accepts the reliever role and he's a super reliever and he comes in and it's late in the season. And he comes in a bailout situation in the 6th, and he pitches 2 or 3 solid innings where he just dominates the Giants. They don't even get a hit, and they need it for the playoff run. That, to me, is worse than the start where he does well or whatever. But the one where he comes in and he's like, I've got it when I absolutely need it, and when I had it is when you needed it the least. Like, you know,
all the way up to 92.
Yeah, a May start in the 3rd game of a series or whatever, that's not great, but I mean, it's not, it's going to sting a tiny bit. But like August, September, when the Giants, you know, are clinging to odds, you know, it's, that's bad. And he comes in and it's just, oh, it's Tim Lincecum coming out of the bullpen. This, maybe the Giants have a chance. And then he's like two or three innings, just smokes them. That's the worst.
I think he's going to, like, maybe by the end of the season, he'll be relieving somewhere, but I think he's going to start. Like, there's 30 major league teams. The Royals just gave
Well, sure. I'm just saying, if he winds up relieving for the Padres and does that, then he becomes the whole lacrosse team, not just one guy from it.
Yeah. Oh.
So if Tim Lincecum suddenly becomes the entire team, it's going to be rough.
And he's going to have the weirdest haircut when he does that.
That's true. And he'll be blonde with a popped collar somehow. How did that happen? All right. I'll pick one more question that I have because I hearted it. And that is, it's from Kizar Soze, frequent contributor. And he asked, what would the best baseball team made up of superheroes look like? Who plays, manages, etc.? So this is a non-Giants question. Although I think Bumgarner and Posey are probably, and Barry Bonds are probably on that team anyway.
Yeah. I think Barry Bonds is a supervillain, but he's like the supervillain with his own comic. Like, he's a supervillain who carries a plot line on his own.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. He's like the Magneto.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
The best baseball team made up of superheroes is a weird question. I kind of want to flip it a little bit. I think I want it to be like, if a superhero had to, let's do a Justice League. If a superhero had to manage a base, like an all-star team, like what would Superman's team be? Who would he put on that team? I feel like that's a better question. Then we get more baseball players involved.
Well, Superman would definitely, he would have a, so this is actually, this might be an unpopular opinion on Superman. I think his team would actually be pretty cool. I think the original idea of Superman was like, you know, the FDR superhero, right? The Depression era, like standing up for the little guy, smacking fascists superhero.
Right.
Yeah. So I think Superman's team is actually like a bunch of really underappreciated players. Like, I think Superman would have noticed that Ben Zobrist was good long before anyone else. Like, I'm not saying necessarily Superman knows sabermetrics, but he knows good players. Like, I think he would recognize that. So it would be a mix of, like, really underrated, underappreciated players and really obnoxious, scrappy guys because he just loves their moxie. Like, it would just be Ben Zobrist and David Eckstein.
That sounds more like a Captain America team than Superman, but you have the key point in what you said that I think we can build this team even more easily is if we take the fascist line. So if Superman's against fascists, that means no Yankees, no Red Sox, no Dodgers, and probably no Cardinals, let's say, because of the Christian fundamentalism. So let's say those four, no players from there. And maybe the Rays, because the Rays are kind of like that, they're the Wall Street model, and that's its own sort of fascist. Let's say those five teams, those are all out.
So they're all.
but I could definitely pick up your line there. And then the Batman team would be, let's just do Batman, Superman. This is, okay, I've now whittled it down. Since Batman, Superman's coming out, who would be the captains of those teams? You know, the Batman ones would all have like some sort of weird twist to all of them. They would have, you know, when in his prime, Brian Wilson would probably be the closer.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's drawn to these colorful characters with something a little unhinged about them.
Bryce Harper's
on. Oh, yeah.
Right away. He's on that.
That's right. He'll take the youngest guy because he'll be like, what's your trauma from your youth?
Exactly. And then I think Superman responds by picking Mike Trout. Like,
you know, great. No, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah.
Player on the floor. Like, he was drafted late. He was underappreciated, but he just, you know, with good old fashioned, like, American moxie and also just being really good at things.
That's good. That's really good. I'll throw out a player. I don't know whose team he would be on, though. Which team takes Troy Tulowitzki?
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. He's good and obnoxious.
Yes. He's two things.
That is like, I think he might slip to Superman, because I think Batman looks at him and goes like, where's the drama with you, Troy Tulowitzki? Where's the tragedy? Where's the inner darkness of your soul? You just want to do keg stands and hit home runs. Like, I have nothing. There is nothing for me to work with here. And Superman's like, hey, he's good.
Only on the McCovey Croncast, by the way, would you hear the line, I think he falls to Superman. It's an atypical line. Well, that's a good question. We probably should have structured that better, given that the movie is coming out soon. Maybe during closer to Civil War, we'll do that.
Yeah, let's do another one for Civil War. I'm just going to throw one more player out there. Jose Fernandez. Who gets him there?
I was thinking about him.
I'm always thinking about Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, I think Batman. I think Batman goes right for Jose Fernandez, because Jose Fernandez plays through injury. And or seemingly does, and I think that again he's kind of a character who kind of marches to his own beat. So I think it's a Batman all the way.
Also, didn't he have like a dangerous path getting to the U.S. too? I think I remember reading something.
Yeah. I also think for what it's worth, I think Matt Harvey gets drafted by Batman as well.
Well, yeah,
because he's called the Dark Knight. But yeah. I mean, I think even if he didn't have that nickname, I still think Matt Harvey is someone that... But I think Superman would be a little perturbed there, because who wouldn't want Matt Harvey on their team?
I don't think Superman's necessarily going to draft all the boring players.
No, I think he'd, like, take DeGrom.
Yeah, I think Superman drafts the players who are like, you're having fun. Like, I think he would possibly take Fernandez, but Batman would definitely use a higher pick on him.
He would take McCutcheon, too.
Yeah, absolutely. He'd take like Marcus Stroman. He'd take guys who were having fun out there.
Oh, he would totally take Marcus Stroman. All right, Marcus Stroman would definitely be.
Yeah. Whereas Batman's like, you know, give me the guys who are powered by their inner torment. Give me the guys who are ready to like set this league afire and watch it burn. I want to watch this game now.
Yeah. And they would both be in their costumes standing on the dugout steps. That would be the best part.
Absolutely.
Is Batman and Superman on the railing.
When you think about it, is it any weirder than like making Bruce Bochy and Jim Leyland dress in baseball uniforms at their age? Like,
oh man, so this is the great part about being an adult, I feel, is being able to see the ridiculousness of reality sometimes. It's pretty ridiculous that grown ass men wear baseball uniforms when you think about it.
Well, not just that, but like, you know, men who are past that age, like,
yes,
you know, they let Phil Jackson wear a suit, you know, they let Jim Harbaugh wear khakis and a sweatshirt. For God's sake, let Bruce wear a suit out there.
Or something slightly more comfortable. I don't think baseball uniforms are all that comfortable.
What do you think Bruce Bochy dresses like when left to his own devices? I've only ever seen him like either in a suit for a function or in a baseball uniform.
Well, I think he's, you know, he's a basic guy, so it's, you know, it's jeans and a t-shirt, but I think all Bochy's t-shirts are branded, like, or they've got prints on them.
Oh, really?
It seems like Bochy is like, oh, I got this shirt for free, and now it's part of his wardrobe. Like, that's a lot of radio stations and car dealerships. And...
He's a little Carl Weathers, like, oh, well, you got a free shirt out of this.
That's right. Okay, so we play a game every week on the McCovey Croncast, and this week I challenged Ruben to come up with one, and I think he came up with a good one, but you're going to tell me about it right now, right?
Yeah, I think I came up with a good one. So it's extremely topical right now. Game of Thrones is coming back for season 6.
It sure is.
Yeah. I think it was season 2 of the show where... The premiere was on the same day as MLB opening day, and they ran like a joint commercial.
I do not remember that.
That actually, I guarantee, I'm sure it happened because I had to talk to other people about it, so I didn't just hallucinate it. But it was like the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. It was just love in one place.
It's everything you love.
Yeah, I Yeah, so I'm never going to top that. But but with another season coming back, I thought we'd use a topical question. So the King's Guard, right? Like the King of Westeros has his guard of seven elite knights, like the best in the land, who are sworn to, you know, no matter what else is going on, their job is to defend the king, like not to question his decisions, not to try to talk him out of doing something stupid, not to do anything except keep the king alive and I guess his family. So my question is, if you keeping loyalty in mind as well as ability, if you are the king of Westeros and your choices for Kingsguard are just San Francisco Giants, who are you going to go with? Who are your seven guys?
Well, who in the show, I think this might help, in the show are or were in the Kingsguard? Jamie was one, right?
Yeah, Jamie, which is indicative of the problems when you choose the wrong guy because he's the Kingslayer.
Right.
Yeah, so right off the bat, we've got a conflict of interest. And then the other main guy was Barristan Selmy, who looks like Sean Connery and got stabbed to death by a bunch of Mardi Gras protesters in an alley. Really badass.
Okay.
So yeah, essentially the idea is to pick guys who are like good and loyal and like the idea, at least in the books, I don't think the show touches on this as much, but they're like the epitome of knighthood. Like, you know, every kid wants to be them. They're essentially like the equivalent of a permanent – baseball doesn't really have this, but they're the equivalent of a permanent all-NBA team. They're like okay. The best.
All right. Well, if you're – and this is current Giants or Giants of all time?
Let's go with current Giants.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll throw out one, then you throw out one. We'll go back and forth. So we got to pick seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and one of them is in charge. You have to pick a commander, like the one guy who runs the
show. Well, you could name a commander, or we could wait till the end and name a commander, but I'll try to just come up with someone first. I'm going to think about this for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm picking Javier Lopez for the Kingsguard.
That is a deep cut. That is an interesting pick. Why Javier?
I think his communication skills will come in handy if there's any sort of confusion, that he'll be able to clear it up. And you need someone, you have to be the best, I imagine, but being crafty in Westeros and being able to see a few moves ahead of your enemy, not just physically, but whatever game they're playing, is helpful. And I feel like Javier Lopez would be able to handle that pretty well.
Right, like as a, you know, in the equivalent where he's a knight or whatever, it's like, what's up with, you know, what's the equivalent of submarine left-handing?
Right.
Like, what the hell is this guy doing? It's freaking me out. You're right, that's a great pick. my turn. Along similar lines of like, deep cut, I'm going to go with Hunter Strickland, because Hunter Strickland is like the kind of guy who once he decides this is what he's doing, this is all he's doing. So if he has become a Kingsguard, that's his life, man. And he is like, he is ride or die.
I agree. This is a great pick. And he's all power and no head.
He's really
no thought. Yeah.
So I think he'd do great.
He had unrelated. He had some really good comments in an article that Jesse Spector wrote up the other about the Giants bullpen and how the Giants average bullpen velocity over the last 3 years has been 91.6 miles per hour, which is the slowest in MLB.
Everyone in their bullpen is like mid-career Tim Wenson.
Exactly. And Hunter Strickland had a lot of good quotes in there, and everyone in the bullpen basically said, you know, it's all Bruce Bochy. And it's interesting how often when the players are asked about why the Giants are good, offense, pitching, it all, people invariably will bring up Bochy. But anyway, Hunter Strickland seems like, despite being, you know, kind of a redneck in terms of his political views, which hopefully being in San Francisco changes that, but who knows. He seems like he's adjusted from the 2014 playoff issues he had, and he had a good season last year. So anyway, just wanted to touch on that. Like, Hunter Strickland seems, I mean, the Giants are going to need someone like him, if not him. So it'd be great if he's already on the team, if he worked out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good pick. So we've got two interesting ones, really interesting characters there. I'm just going to say this before I say my next pick. I feel like Buster Posey is not a good Kingsguard. I think he's a king. And so that's why I don't want to like put him in this group of just take orders and be the best at that. I just don't necessarily see that.
He's wasted on it. You're right.
Yeah. I think he's actually not a good idea for a knight, but just from the loyalty fire standpoint, I think I want Jake Peavy having my back. So he's my pick.
Sure. Jake Peavy is another, like, he's the guy who is at the king's side at all times. Like,
he doesn't know where the king is half the time. He can't see him, but he's when he does, he's right there.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. But he's also got, like, that veteran leadership thing going on. Like, he's like the crotchety, cranky, fiery old dude.
And he's that guy when his arm gets sliced off, he'll switch to the other arm until he can't swing a sword. Yeah.
He's the dude dramatically shot through with, like, dying like Boromir and still coming at you.
That's right, he's on fire and still fighting. Yeah.
On fire. Good pick. I like the beauty. And we get a lot of pitchers. That's interesting. So I should change that up a bit. Gregor Blanco. Gregor Blanco is... The Giants have never given him a starting job in, you know, what has he been on the team, 4 years now?
Right.
And every year he's essentially performed like an above-average starting outfielder in two-thirds of a season. Like, and he's never complained about it. He's never, like, it's never been an issue. He is the most, like, tireless, dutiful, competent dude there is. Like... It doesn't matter what they need from him, as long as it can be solved by, you know, as long as it is something that is within his power to address as a speedy outfielder, he does it. So I want Gregor Blanco on my King's guard, because I'm like, ah, crap, the peasants are really mad, and I'm not sure whether I need to, like, have a few heads chopped off to scare them, or I need to talk some sense into them. Gregor Blanco can do it.
That's a solid pick. I think offensively it's tricky, but along those lines of trickiness is I'm going with Matt Duffy then, because Matt Duffy to me seems like if you were writing this, he's the new guy,
yeah,
and he's the one that's got he could sink or swim, and I think he's shown us that one season, but he really battled and showed that he was willing to put in the work and get better and sort of. He seems like he belongs very much. So I would say I would put a lot of faith in that. And he's got that animal sidekick and, you know, with Skeeter, the giant cat. So, you know, it kind of humanizes him in an interesting way. I think he's good. He's not necessarily the leader, though. I would never nominate him as the leader.
Right. Like, so, from a storytelling standpoint, he's important. He humanizes the group. And he stands a good chance also with the animal sidekick of making this more like a happy prequels thing than like a Game of Thrones thing. Like,
that's right.
He ups the tone a little. Someone might live through this with Matt Duffy's theater around.
That's right.
Yeah. And then, you know, as a knight, fighting him would be impossible. It would just be the worst. Like, he's so fast.
Right. He is fast. Yeah. Matt Duffy is surprisingly fast. Yeah.
He's incredibly fast. I think he's going to steal a lot more bases this year, by the way, in the real world. He was really good at it in the minors, and he just didn't do it last year because he was focused on just... You know, he didn't want to be the guy who got wiped out stealing right before Buster hit a homer, but I think he's got the green light now.
Yeah, I think with Span, hopefully it kind of, the that Giants one. Game, yeah, changes a little bit.
To all right, we've got two more, right? We got three pitchers, Blanco and Duffy. I think, I mean, this is kind of an obvious pick, but Hunter Pence, like, you kind of have to. I mean, he's... like a huge scary physical specimen, and he's a weirdo, but he's also like he would commit to this, like he would be like all in on like I'm the Kingsguard now, this is what I do, I'm gonna be positive about it, I'm gonna be the best Kingsguard I could be, and so should the rest of you. And then he's probably like some sort of weird magic knight, I don't know, like anything that gets involved in, it's just gonna be more weird and entertaining. And he's totally the guy who's like, this is what he told me to do, so I'm gonna get everyone into it. Yeah, Pence is my guy.
All right, I guess so. We got two more, yeah.
I think just one. We've got
just one.
Strictly.
Okay. Oh,
PV, yeah. Blanco, Duffy, Pence. So
I'm glad someone's keeping track here.
Choose wisely.
Yes, the one. I mean, the thing that stands out to me is, I mean, Pence is a great choice, But one thing that I think, when I think of Pence, I also think of him as sort of leading a charge. And yeah. I feel like with the Kingsguard, you actually really need someone who's good at digging in and standing their ground. You're right. And so, I mean, to me, that's Madison Bumgarner. This seems like a pretty obvious one. But, I mean, you need someone who's just not going to give in and is going to lead by example and can beat you in a couple of ways. He can intimidate you. He can overpower you. But he can also break off. You know, he's got secret moves that you're not – you were expecting the fastball, and boom, he's going to drop a curveball on you. Or he's going to get you.
Bumgarner is the last man standing. Like, also, yes. He's got to ride a horse, which is important for a knight.
That's right. He's as far as I know, he's the only one we've named who can ride a horse.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was actually thinking about, like, oh, maybe I should have picked Cueto, but Cueto's too new. Like, his loyalty is, as of yet, uncertain.
I mean, just in terms of the king, yes, loyalty is uncertain. He's a lot more Littlefinger right now. So. So to me, it's Bumgarner. And then I guess if you're trying to figure out a leader of them, it's between Bumgarner and Pence, right?
I think Pence. Bumgarner's a lead by example type of guy. Like, he's the guy in front. I think Pence is the one to rally them. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's so if we're doing the Game of Thrones thing, Pence is Robert Baratheon and Bumgarner is Ned Stark.
Kinda, yeah. I don't think that's a perfect comp, but I think it's as good as you're gonna get without a really deep dive. Yeah, like it's just the guy in charge. Everyone likes him. Everyone's rallying behind him and his great speeches. And then Bumgarner's like, "Let's get this shit done."
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's so. Our Kingsguard is Lord Commander Hunter Pence, Madison Bumgarner, Javier Lopez, the crafty lefty. Young Matt Duffy, the newest, Jake Peavy and Hunter Strickland. I feel like the two of them go together. I feel like Strickland is kind of like his protege there.
That's a good dynamic.
And then Gregor Blanco, the guy who, you know, the extra who's going to fit in anywhere.
The wild card, essentially. Yeah. That's solid. I feel good about that.
Kingsguard. That's way better than the shit they got on the show. Those guys let like three different kings die. They're terrible at their jobs.
I think it's pretty clear in Game of Thrones that everyone is bad at their jobs at all the time.
It is a show about a mystic, like, come visit this magical and complicated land where everyone is terrible at what they do.